TCL is a proud sponsor of the 1500 ESPN Studios. TCL, America's fastest growing TV brand.
Raised on basketball, raised in front of a computer screen, raised for covering the game, raised by Wolves. Now talking all things Timberwolves, the Raised by Wolves podcast.
All right, live emergency Raised by Wolves podcast. We are live on 1500 ESPN, 1500ESPN.com. We are streaming on Twitter right now, Twitter and Periscope right now. Manny Hill, Danny Cunningham, Dane Moore. We're here in the TCL broadcast studios. Big, big news on a Sunday night.
Yeah, quite the day.
Yeah, quite the eventful day. The Timberwolves beat the Lakers by 22, and that wasn't even the biggest news of the day.
Not even close.
Not even close. Hill. And Dane, welcome. Good to see you. Danny, welcome back from a week in Mexico.
It's been quite a day for me, Manny. I have not been to my apartment in a week. My suitcase is here at the studio. It is. Wow. What I picked quite a day to come back from vacation. Let's just say that. But yeah, no more Tibbs. I don't even know where to begin. I'm not surprised it happened. I think we all knew at some point this was going to happen with the Wolves, that this was clear. I think Tibbs knew it. I think the fans knew it. I think all of us knew it. We just didn't know when it was going to happen. And I don't think that I ever had this date circled as a possible firing date for Tibbs.
Yeah, I didn't think Tibbs was going to be long to be the coach here, you know, in terms of the future. But I'm thinking this wasn't going to happen until after the season was over, most likely. I didn't think that this was going to happen, certainly not today after blowing out the Lakers by 22, Dane.
I mean, the place I think to start is with Karl Anthony Towns. I mean, that's what this team is all about. And, I mean, I know there's a lot of animus out there towards Tom Thibodeau for a lot of different reasons, but at the end of the day, this becomes a good, borderline great thing if the next coach can do things in a way that further unleashes Karl Anthony Towns, who has been, to Tibbs' credit, great recently. But you would think that a new coach could come in and stylistically do even more with the offensive and growing defensive talent of Karl Anthony Towns. So I think as a Timberwolves fan, that's where your excitement should lie, that of course things are going to be different, but they're going to be different for the best player on the team. Mm-hmm. Who's a 23-year-old who's under contract for not only this season, but five more beyond this. So this is great news for a Timberwolves franchise, if it does mean that Karl Anthony Towns becomes even more the face of the franchise, even more the focal point of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Why do you guys think it was now? Why today, after blowing out a LeBron-less Lakers team, where the team, for the most part, played really, really well from start to finish, what do you think it was about today that made it right, you think?
I think we're going to have different answers.
In the mind of Glenn Taylor, I guess. 651-646-8255, by the way. We are live on the air if you want to call in and weigh in on your thoughts on the Wolves dismissing Tom Thibodeau and moving on into the post-Thibodeau era. But I'll just present the question. Why do you guys think that this now was the right time in Glenn Taylor's mind?
I don't know that I have an answer for why it was today. I know Glenn wants this team to make the playoffs again like they did last year, and I know that it didn't look good with Tibbs in charge. Now, granted, they've been better since the trade, but they got off to that bad start. And I think from the very moment they let Jimmy Butler practice with the Wolves this year after that trade request, this was always going to be the end game. Once that happened, Tibbs was always going to be fired. It was not a matter of if, it was a matter of when. I don't have a good concrete answer as to why it is today, January 6th of 2019. I don't have a very good answer for that.
The best answer I have, and I think it started on Friday morning when Robert Covington was ruled out for an extended period of time, that completely changes the trajectory of the Timberwolves seasons this year, and logic would suggest that the playoffs become far less likely once you remove Covington from the equation. So I think a lot of clear heads would say, okay, this team isn't likely playoff quality if Covington is going to miss a month, more than a month. So it becomes it becomes the time to make moves that project towards the future. that project your team for the future. And I think that they woke up to that. I mean, I was thinking about, you know, does this mean that Taj Gibson's on the trade? But I was thinking more though, like on the immediate roster type of things. Mm-hmm. But obviously they took it a step further and they said, yeah, we're zooming out. This is, we need something different for the future. And I think Tibbs is the biggest change, the biggest shakeup, of course, you can make. But I really do think Covington's injury he suffered on New Year's Eve and it being substantial really changes the trajectory of this season specifically and thus the future of the franchise.
Ryan Saunders, by the way, has been named interim head coach.
Shout out to Ryan, man. That's awesome. Yeah. Good for him.
Yeah, I mean, and I know that that's something that a lot of people have been talking about, like, is Ryan Saunders ready to be a coach? And, you know, I know Doogie has talked about, you know, a lot of people feel that Ryan eventually is going to be a head coach, but, you know, maybe he's not quite ready yet. But now, I mean, he's going to get his opportunity to sort of prove himself and to see how this goes, right? I mean, even maybe sooner than a lot of people anticipated, but he's going to get his shot now. And this is a pretty good chunk of games left in the season to really get a good look at him.
And who is Ryan Saunders, I think, is a question. I mean, of course we know it's Flip Saunders' son, but
right.
Who is Ryan Saunders, the head basketball coach? What are like the key tenets of his coaching style? Obviously, Thibodeau was labeled as the defensive guru, or you have the Mike D'Antoni, who is the run and gun offensive style. We don't know what that is with Ryan Saunders. He's been a part of many different teams who have had many different types of styles. So we're going to learn about who Ryan Saunders is and who he can become and what his identity is as a coach. And I think that's an exciting, you know, development.
I mean, I think most people that are Wolves fans are certainly excited tonight. No one's upset at this move, maybe confused at the timing of it, but no one is upset that Tom Thibodeau got fired. I think I'm pretty confident in saying that that's the case within the fan base here. No one's really mad about this, but it's curious, the timing. And you make a good point with the Covington injury, but why did it take that? Because why was that the straw that broke the camel's back?
I mean, I think you're right. I don't know if that's a good reason to be the reason, but if we're looking at things that have happened really recently, that's the only thing I can really point to, you know, that's the biggest change in the roster, you know, recently. But I think it was, I mean, a surprise to Thibodeau. Danny, you were there at the press conference afterwards. I mean, he was joking and laughing and talking about, you know, the future of this team literally 2 hours ago when we were sitting there with him, and the players were in the locker room joking, talking about going to Top Golf tonight. Mm-hmm. I mean,
Cat was in a rush to watch the Eagles play.
Yeah,
Cat was ready as quick as I've ever seen him ready to talk to the media because the Philadelphia Eagles were playing.
I mean, I think this was just as shocking to all of them. So what it suggests to me is this is something that had been, you know, in the work with just kind of a few people in the loop as to, you know, when it was going to happen. And it happened, man. Things are about to change. And it is exciting. This next coaching decision, I mean, we'll give, obviously Ryan will get his run, but whoever that next coach is fundamentally a massive decision for this franchise because you have Andrew Wiggins, Karl Anthony Towns, Josh Okogie, Dario Saric, Covington. I mean, all younger players. What you do with them, who the coach is, I mean, that is going to be definitive.
The playing style is going to be
it's going to
so
be massive.
Huge. Yeah,
you can't miss this move.
This just now, I know the Athletic reported this first in the ESPN. The Wolves have just confirmed this move. They've tweeted out that they have relieved Tom Thibodeau of his duties and that Ryan Saunders will be assuming the role of interim head coach for the rest of this season.
And Scott Layden, by the way, I don't know if I mentioned this already. Scott Layden will be remaining on as GM, it sounds like. This tweet, Danny, you just showed me this tweet from Woj. Minnesota CEO Ethan Casson and GM Scott Layden walked into Thibodeau's office, this is from Woj, and fired him after the Lakers' victory. League sources tell ESPN Thibodeau was surprised at the timing, had no idea his ouster was imminent. Casson hadn't been a fan of the Thibodeau era. So,
and I the wording of that, I know maybe not imminent, but he had to know this was coming. He had to know that this was coming to an end, and it just wasn't working.
Well, he certainly had felt the heat, I would imagine.
There's no question about that. I mean, but, you don't.
I think he thought that if he brought this team back to the playoffs, and I mean, maybe just that. I think he believed that winning with this franchise would keep him, keep his job safe. Or that is the way he operated every day, was that that's the goal, is to make the playoffs and make a run in the playoffs. And I think his thought process was, if I do that, I'll be able to stay on. And, you know, it turns out, obviously, all this baggage we've been talking about forever. I mean, you start the year 4-9 in mass chaos surrounding the team. I mean, it would need to have been a substantial amount of winning, you know, to block that out. And they are 15-12 since the trade, which is, that is winning.
Yeah.
But when you log up, you know, the 4-9 to start, you're 19-21. And that's the 40-game mark for Glenn Taylor. He fired Dwayne Casey at 20-20.
Yeah, he did.
So it's 19-21, 40 games. You know, if you know you're going to make the move. And he did. But the timing, the numbers of all that are curious. But it is for, it's for the future, and probably a good thing.
651-646-8255. We're doing a live Raised by Wolves on the radio right now. Manny Hill, Dane Moore, Danny Cunningham here to take your calls for certainly the remainder of this 7 o'clock hour, and even longer depending on how things go here. But give us a call, 651-646-8255, 877-615-1500. The Timberwolves, if you're just joining us, the Timberwolves have fired head coach and president of basketball operations Tom Thibodeau, and Ryan Saunders will be taking over as head coach, and Scott Layden will remain as GM. Now, my thought was, as this sort of season was progressing along, that there was a part of me that was thinking, this team makes the playoffs, even if they get beat. I just had this feeling like Tibbs was going to keep his job, because
you did.
I did.
Why?
And well, because a couple of reasons. One,
you
because,
were wrong. Yeah. Just to throw that out there,
and not, I mean,
hope that wasn't not, to write that down.
No, it wasn't. No, it wasn't. It definitely wasn't. I just had this feeling if they made the playoffs, there was a chance he was going to keep his job, mainly because, one, because it's Glenn Taylor, and we know historically Glenn Taylor has never really done something exactly when people think he should do it and that sort of thing. But also, there was a part of me that thought, I wonder what the perception would be around the league if you go 13 years without making the playoffs, and then all of a sudden the guy takes you to playoffs 2 years in a row and you fire him.
But that's, you just looking, I mean, at it in a vacuum.
Sure.
That doesn't factor in the Jimmy Butler situation.
And you're right.
Because
and
you're 100% that's the biggest thing. Tom Thibodeau does not get fired today if they don't handle the Jimmy Butler situation the way that they did.
Right.
I'm incredibly confident in saying that.
And I'm 100% with you. I'm just saying, I wonder, you know, sometimes people around the league, they talk, and perception can have effect on a lot of things. But you're right. Like, I don't disagree with you at all, because locally here, we know what's been going on.
Yeah.
But sometimes people look at things from the outside, and they don't really, if you're just sort of looking at it from a bird's eye view, and you're just thinking, wow, you know, they went to the playoffs 2 years in a row.
It's not
sometimes,
that easy.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes perception can sort of influence things.
I mean, but I covered a team that was 30-11 and fired their coach.
I know.
Like,
I know.
These things, you can't just look at everything in a vacuum like that. You have to be able to look at the whole situation. And
right.
The whole situation, he deserved to be fired not tonight, but a while ago, in my opinion. And if it wasn't going to be tonight, it was going to be soon. I personally, I had marked on the calendar the day after the Philadelphia game. I thought that going into that, that's a tough stretch for that. We've talked about that. I thought they were going to go to Philadelphia, get their butts kicked, and then he'd get fired following that game, especially with the schedule where they have a couple days off there. I thought that's where he was going to get fired, but Glenn beat me to it.
I think there an element of this that is, you know, been prevailing, but maybe you can't see from, you know, 10,000 feet, is that Thibodeau was on a 5-year contract.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so that made it, you know, financially reasonable for him not to be fired after last season, despite, you know, a lot of the fan base disgruntlement, you know, lack of connection maybe with players and with the fan base. But, you know, Glenn Taylor signed him to a 5-year, $40 million deal that he also had control of the front office in. This was going to be a massive undertaking. It is a massive undertaking right now, because Tibbs is not only expensive, but in control of the entire franchise. So it's going to be...
Not anymore.
Not anymore, but it is... I mean, you get that as a factor. It's like, it's different than a player than player salaries. You know, there's players who make more than $8 million a year, but the thing is, you have to spend 90% of the salary cap on players. You know, mm-hmm. there's not a minimum or whatever. You gotta pay coaches.
There's no floor for that. And exactly. There's no cap for it either. And I want to pose this question: is Scott Layden now a lame duck GM?
I mean.
I don't know.
I think that's next. I mean,
I don't know.
We don't know how much power he had when Tibbs was here. I know he was the one that walked into Thibodeau's office and fired him today.
Well, you would think he wouldn't go do that without some assurances.
Sure, but
I mean, Tibbs was the one who brought him in to be his 1B. Mm-hmm. You know, so
is the clock ticking on him now too? But,
well, and see, here's my thought on that. Are they going to now, probably not tomorrow or anything like that, but at the end of the season, are they now going to look for a new president of basketball operations? And if they do, and they bring an actual president of basketball operations, mm-hmm. that person is going to have to make the decision on Scott Layden, right? I would think.
Or it could become Glenn Scott before.
Or it might become Scott Layden.
Or Glenn could make that decision beforehand. He could clean house at the end of the season.
I mean, let's give Scott Layden some credit for the general managing moves that he made in tandem with Tom Thibodeau.
I'm not trying to discredit him. I'm just wondering aloud because I think that's the next logical step here. I think is if you are going to get rid of your president of operations and your coach, what's that mean for your GM? I think it's a fair question to pose. I'm not saying he's done a crappy job or that it's unfair to him, but it's a question, and I think it's a question worth looking at.
And it's a critical one because what decisions are you going to make? I mean, that's the person... You know, that's the person making the decisions. Who's going to surround Andrew Wiggins, Karl Towns? What trades? What is going to happen? I mean, that person is going to shape the future of the franchise. So you're right, Danny. It's an important question. I don't think we know yet, but he was tied to Thibodeau and has always been loyal to Thibodeau. And this is, you know, the first, you know, real separation of those two that we've seen in 2 years. So.
Let's go to the phone, 651-646-8255, a live Raised by Wolves on right now on 1500 ESPN, 1500ESPN.com. We're streaming on Twitter and Periscope right now as well. Let's go to Henry. You are on. What's up, Henry?
Good evening, guys. I appreciate the live impromptu broadcast. I was just going to, just a theory, and I'd like to get your reaction to it. The fact that Mr. Taylor is effectively eating, quote-unquote, $20 million with this move, because he still has to pay that to Tom Thibodeau, will that have an impact on the decision to hire the permanent next coach? And specifically, does that maybe give Ryan Saunders a little bit more of a leg up than people might have thought initially, and quite frankly, than I thought initially, by virtue of the fact that given his relative inexperience, he probably wouldn't command, and the fact that he hasn't been a head coach before, he probably wouldn't command as much money as some of those other names that have been bandied about already.
I see the lines that you're connecting there. I do think it's just such an important decision going forward that you can't let money be a determining factor here. You know, I mean, you need to hire the best possible coach for Karl Anthony Towns, and you need to hire the best possible general manager and president of basketball. I don't know who that is, but I mean, you need to nail that in. If you're, it's not a place to pinch pennies,
money.
I would say.
Money can't be a determining factor.
And here's the thing:
this.
If you're willing to pay Tom Thibodeau that much money to not coach, you're going to be willing to pay somebody money, good money, to coach. You're not going to skimp there. If you're paying someone so much money to not coach, you need to get it right. Mm-hmm. And you need to be able to pay whatever it takes to do that.
And that was probably some of the delay in the first place. Was
potentially, it could be, yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, because this did drag on almost half a season.
I'm also curious when this decision was made. Because there's no way they saw something today and said, okay, that's it.
Oh, yeah, no way.
There's no way something happened today where...
They won by 22 points today.
And blew out the Magic on Friday, too. I mean, they're playing well right now.
He was playing Karl Anthony Towns and Jeff Teague up by 27 with 4 minutes left. That might be a fireable offense.
Yeah, well, and see, and Dane, we talked about on the pod we did the other day,
I listen to that. Good job, guys. Thanks for the shout-outs.
We gave you plenty of shout-outs.
I know. I was thinking.
Basking
was
in the
serious.
Sun in Mexico.
I listened
making
on the
us
plane.
All jealous. But no, Dane, we talked about it last week about, you know, we went back to the Chicago game of them winning by 20-plus in the fourth quarter, and Derrick Rose, you look up, and Derrick Rose is 35-plus minutes. He ended up playing 38 in that game, and then he has to play a lot of minutes and, you know, two nights later at home against Atlanta, and then he ends up getting hurt in that game. And we talked about, I mean, I wonder if just all of this, looking at these games and seeing them up by big margins with 3-4 minutes left and starters are still out there playing, if that was part of it too. Like, dude, somebody just said, this is getting ridiculous. Yeah.
What the ridiculous element of it is, not for me, it's not just minute totals. Like if you're at 38 or 39, it's the extended periods of time when you're on the court. And what we've seen since Covington's been out these last three games, Andrew Wiggins plays the first 16 minutes of the game, all the way into...
That's a Derrick Rose shift.
That's a Derrick...
16 minutes, that's a Derrick Rose shift.
Yeah, and to your point, that was something that was happening with Derrick Rose when he was that was his six-man role, coming halfway through the first quarter, through the whole rest of the half. That doesn't happen around the league consistently.
No one does that.
And that, you know, that is... That's something to point at that didn't work. And the players have said that it was exhausting. I mean, Josh Okogie yesterday at practice... I asked him, has there been a time, you know, you play with so much energy, has there been a time you've burned out? And he said, one time when I got in the Derrick Rose role and I played that extended 18 minutes at a time. It's not something that players are incapable of doing, but you obviously start playing worse as that time goes on. It's treating the players like they're that running back who's on an expiring contract. You're like, whatever, we're giving them 300 touches because they're probably not coming back next year. I mean, it's the Darren McFadden thing. Totally.
And so Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN just tweeted out that Scott Layden will remain in place for now, but his future's uncertain. Fred Hoiberg and Chauncey Billups have been discussed internally as possible candidates for general manager or head coach.
Well, you guys know how I feel about Chauncey. I love Chauncey Billups. Now, I mean, I don't know how good a GM or president of basketball operations he would be, but I just like Chauncey Billups, and I think it'd be cool to see him get the opportunity, and then we'll see. But
give anyone an opportunity. You know, I mean, it's so hard.
It's hard to find the perfect guy.
Just don't know. I mean, for coaches, so much of what defines a coach is the players that are playing for them. And yes, you can point to things about systems and the way in which they use those players, but talent defines so much of what a coach is. And for a general manager, you're trying to make more than half of the right decisions, but sometimes those go wrong too. So if somebody who does get hired, who has made a bad decision before, that doesn't mean they're necessarily a terrible GM. You know, it's aggregation of it. Do you come up in the green? So I don't know, whoever it is, for me, I'm going to give them time, and let's see what happens. We gave Tibbs time. Like, let's see what is, what's next.
Everybody gave Tibbs time except for Corzo. Corzo was like down on Tibbs like right away after the first quarter of that Memphis game to start Tibbs' run in Minnesota. I remember having some battles with Corzo on Twitter about that. It was those were entertaining times.
Let's go to one sec. Chris Hine of the Star Tribune just tweeted out that one Wolves player said he was shocked at the timing of this move. Not necessarily shocked at the move, but shocked at the timing.
All right, back to the phones we go. Hank, you are on live on 1500 ESPN. It's Raised by Wolves Live. What's up, Hank?
Hey, thanks for being on. Hey, what if Ryan Saunders works? You know, he's got relationships with Towns and Wiggins, and with those two guys have loyalty to his father. I mean, Towns has talked effusively about Flip. And what if these guys just flip a switch and this thing works? I would love it. Can you guys talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Thanks for the call, Hank.
Well, I think that's best case scenario for the Wolves. If the Wolves have found their guy and it is Ryan Saunders,
I'm pro good things, that's, man. Let's.
Yeah. That's best things case scenario for this franchise. If he's your guy and he's 32 years old and he proves he's ready in these last 42 games or however many are left, then you're in the perfect situation. That's what Glenn Taylor wants to happen. That is absolutely his ideal situation right now. Now, do we know that's going to happen? No, we don't. We have no idea.
But maybe that also played a role
that
in
could
the timing
be that he
of
wants
this, too.
To see,
he wants
to give him a fair chance at seeing if that's enough time.
As opposed to wait until after the season is over and then naming Ryan the coach without really getting a full look at what he may be able to do with this roster.
It's a tough spot. I mean, because a lot of times what happens to the interim coaches is a new coach gets hired and that interim coach is like, go, like Sam Mitchell or whatever, go, go around the leagues. And obviously there's the Ryan Saunders connection to Minnesota angle. And it's going to be an interesting thing to you follow along with. I just hope he gets a good shot to, I mean, there's more than half a season. He does have a shot with a capable roster. If he can, you know, get these guys working, who knows? Let's see. I mean, let's give him the shot too to do things well. I just think right now my assumption is it's so much up in the air. Everything is just so up in the air.
Back to the phones we go. Sam, you are live on 1500 ESPN. What's up, Sam?
Hey guys, I just want to shout out to Carl Anthony Towns, man. He played the last six games, man. He's been playing lights out. Him and Anthony Davis right now are the two best centers in the league. And then we actually saw some emotion from Wiggins tonight with when he had that block with Towns. He slapped like the basket or something like that. And it was like one of the only times we saw emotion out of him. So hopefully we can see more of that out of him. But the timing was right, or not right, but it was going to happen. But I thought it would happen after the Hawks game. After, you know, that's a team you got to beat at home. It's shocking that it came today, but, you know, I'm glad it happened. Let's see what happens with Saunders. I really like Mark Jackson or Jeff Van Gundy. Those would be my two options. So I'll hang up and listen to you guys. Thanks.
All right, Sam, thanks for the call. I think Sam forgot about a guy out in Philadelphia
when he was talking about best centers in the league. You're missing an MVP candidate there that I don't think you can omit from that conversation.
But let's give Kat some props.
Kat's been fantastic.
One of the top last three, weeks, absolutely. Yeah. And I can't give him top two without including Joel Embiid.
And off the court this whole year. I mean, Kat has, he never blew up at any point of the Jimmy Butler, you know, situation. I'm not saying he handled it all perfectly, but he has not been a diva, dramatic in any of this. I think it was really, I mean, his production shows that it weighed on him at the beginning of the year. Mm-hmm. He was playing poor. And now he's, again, with Tibbs, who didn't ever seem to be a guy who he fully connected with. He's played through all of it. And he has consistently, Kat's a guy you know you're going to get at least numbers from. And I just think he deserves a lot of credit for a really weird first couple years in the NBA and still, you know, being up there in the conversation as one of the best centers in the league. I think he's fourth. Got to get Jokic in there too.
Yeah, he's been great.
Oh yeah. Jokic has been, the Joker's been, been fantastic. Definitely,
I can understand omitting him. You cannot omit Joel Embiid from that conversation. I'm sorry. That man has been unbelievable this year.
All those teams have systems in place that accentuate the strengths of those centers.
Yeah.
The Minnesota Timberwolves did not have that in the Tom Thibodeau era. That can change, and because Carl Anthony Towns has enough skill, at least on the offensive end, to be better than all of those players offensively as a center.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah. And I said all through the offseason, even like before all the Butler drama sort of reared its ugly head in September, the whole time through the summer, every time I was on with Phil and Judd, I always said Carl Anthony Towns is the most important piece of this franchise, the future of this franchise.
Oh, there's no question about that.
They have to get things right with him, one way or the other. They have to get things right with him. Otherwise, everything else is just, nothing else is really going to matter for the future of this franchise if you don't have things right with him.
A, B, C. He's all of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Question on Twitter from Greg. Yeah, he posed this to us about an hour or so ago. What does Ryan Saunders have to accomplish in the remaining 40-plus games to knock the interim label off his title for next year? Playoffs, second-round playoffs, or does it not matter because Hoiberg is going to be the next guy?
I don't know that there's a concrete goal.
I agree, Danny.
I don't think that there's a concrete... Like, with Tibbs, I think there would have been had he not been fired today. But with Saunders, I'm not sure that there's a concrete goal. I don't think it's, oh, if you win a playoff series, it's your job. I don't think there's a carrot dangling out in front of him like that.
It's like about a vibe, right?
Yes.
Like, how are you getting these guys to vibe with you in the locker room? And how is the fan base, you know, latching on to Saunders? I mean, forever people have been like, oh, we want Ryan to get a shot. Like, Ryan's a Minnesota guy. Let's, you know, and now we get to see that.
Mm-hmm.
So let's see what, you know, what that feels like. And let's put his coaching chops up there to, you know, see what those look like too. So I'm totally with you. I don't think that that's the playoffs or not playoffs, second round, not second round is a good way of measuring it, because that includes factors outside of the team, you know, like other teams could be great that, you know, push the Wolves down. Like, the Wolves can have a really good rest of the season and not make the playoffs, and that might not necessarily be on Ryan.
Yeah. I mean, it's not like he is inheriting a team that's currently in the playoffs, you know? And at that point, then maybe that's more of a concrete goal. But right now, I just don't think it is.
Yeah. And I don't even think, you know, within reason here, but I don't even think a win-loss record really applies here either. Now, I mean, if it's, you got 42 games left, if they go, you know, 3-39, which they're not going to do, then, I mean, yeah, you kind of have an idea that, okay, maybe this isn't going to work, but I don't think they need to, well, they've got to go 25-17 in the last 42 games for, you know, I don't think that matters at all.
Yes. I mean, now, granted, if he does that, he's more likely, but right. I don't think that is the be-all, end-all.
But he could coach well, and Robert Covington miss a ton of time the rest of the way. Derrick Rose miss a ton of time the rest of the way. Jeff Teague's been hurt for a bunch this season.
A lot of it just depends on how the team looks.
Yeah.
Rather or not, they're winning some of these games isn't going to be so much as it. It's just how they look.
Executing. Right. I think that's what it's about.
Or getting the most out of Andrew Wiggins. If Andrew Wiggins starts a transformation into a little bit different of a player here, maybe that's a reason. There are definitely different things to look at than just win-loss record or playoff appearance.
I wasn't covering the team Andrew Wiggins' rookie season, but I know that Flip was the coach, and he really paired Ryan with Andrew and tried to make those two connect in a way that, you know, that Ryan would be able to bring as much out of Andrew as possible. I don't know to what extent that happened, but we've said forever with Andrew, it's about finding something, someone who can
unlock,
go in him and turn that key. And Ryan would theoretically be a guy who's been around him more than anyone else has. I think it helps that he's 32 and not 60. That helps a young 23-year-old Andrew Wiggins, Absolutely. Who grew up in a very different world than a 56-year-old would. So, yeah, that should be factored in too. For me personally, Cat's number one. But obviously, that's a huge factor too.
All right, let's take a quick pause, and if you want to weigh in, we still got some time. Linda from Wyoming is on hold. Linda, hang tight. We'll get to you on the other side of this break. 651-646-8255. Raised by Wolves Live. It's Manny Hill, Danny Cunningham, and Dane Moore. Tom Thibodeau is out as Wolves president and head coach. We'll be back in just a moment. All right, we're back live on 1500 ESPN, Raised by Wolves Live, an emergency Raised by Wolves Live on the radio. Is Manny Hill, Dane Moore, Danny Cunningham here in the TCL broadcast studios. After the Wolves make some news tonight as they have parted ways with head coach and president of basketball operations, Tom Thibodeau. Let's go back to the phones. Linda from Wyoming, a very loyal listener and caller into a lot of our 1500 ESPN programming. Linda, how you doing?
Well, I'm doing well. I like the news that Tibbs is out. So you guys kind of stole my thunder, because my thought was when, you know, they let go of Tibbs, was Taylor really went out on the limb with the max contract for Andrew Wiggins. And that's what you were talking about. And I think he really likes the kid, wants him to perform, and he wasn't going to do it under Tibbs. And I think that had a lot to do with it. And, you know, Wiggins takes a beating in the press all the time. So bringing in somebody else, Saunders, I like that. Give the guy a chance. I go back to look at what Brad Stevens did with the Celtics. You know, I don't think these younger players need a taskmaster anymore. I think they need someone that, you know, understands where they're coming from, gets them to play hard, you know, isn't, you know, on their case all the time. you know, I coached girls basketball for many, many years, and I can't imagine that those players were like Tibbs on the sideline with everything that he did. You know, you just can't do that. So I think it's a good move, get rid of Tibbs, and I think it's a good move to bring in Ryan Sanders, and I think you're going to see maybe a little different Andrew Wiggins coming about too, which would be good because I think there's potential there. You just have to unlock it. So thanks, guys.
All right, Linda, thanks for the call. Always appreciate when Linda calls in. Yeah, I think too when she brings up a good point in that you give Andrew Wiggins this max contract, and you know Andrew's caught a lot of heat and from you know, me and other people in the media and all of that stuff. And I think a lot of the criticism has been warranted, but you make that kind of investment in a player and he's not performing. I think in Glenn Taylor's mind, you're looking at, look, I'm paying this kid all this money and he's not performing and he's not performing under you.
Why can't you get the best out of him?
Right.
Type thing.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's fair to think that probably weighed into this whole thing too as well.
And it's a critical angle to the future because like Towns, he's locked up long term.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's a guy who you're paying over a quarter of your team's salary cap to. You need to get something out of that. You need to win an NBA championship or even contend for one. You need your players to be outproducing their salaries as a whole. You can have a couple guys who are a little bit under here and there, but Andrew, as he has performed throughout his career, has been so much lower than what his salary suggests. So if you can have a coach that can get something more out of him, that is would be a huge step in getting this team towards that contender status, because you need a group of guys who are better than what they're getting paid. That's how it works.
And you make a great point about the salary and having to outperform, because that's a huge reason why the Warriors got so good.
Yeah.
Because mm-hmm. Steph Curry was on an absolute steal of a contract. Yep. That's why they got so good. That's why they were able to get KD.
Yeah.
Was because of Steph Curry's contract. That the Wolves don't have that. Not
nice little
that,
salary bump deal that, with the, yeah, the TV deal.
That partly, yes. But the Wolves don't have anyone like that. Well, Derrick Rose, but that's a different situation.
Robert Covington, maybe. I mean, not like to compare him to Steph Curry, but yeah. He's going to be making about $11 million a year over the next 4 years. There's some plus value that you need. You think Cat is better than even a max salary in that way, but still, then you add Wiggins into it, and you're probably...
It drags you down.
It just drags you down, yeah. So, but if you can get him to approach that, he doesn't need to be an all-star. He doesn't need to be all NBA, anything like that. He just needs to be a starter.
He just needs to be a net positive player.
He needs to be someone that we don't talk about. Would it be better for you to come off the bench?
Yeah.
That's what he needs to be.
Because and that's right been a now, legitimate conversation.
Right now, we've had conversation amongst ourselves that maybe he'd be better suited to be a sixth man. And I'm sorry, when you're on that type of deal, we can't be talking about you in that way. You need to do what you did in the first half today far more often.
Mm-hmm. Which was great. But then the second half
yeah. was normal Wiggins. Now, granted, they didn't need
it. But maybe that's
because
Tibbs dragged him through the
Maybe because the sand, he played the first 16 minutes.
Right. Yeah. All right, back to the phones we go. Thanks for holding, folks. Dan, you are on Raised by Wolves Live. What's up, Dan?
Yeah, thanks, guys. A lot of great points. One person, this team just got released from early release from prison. Tyus Jones is going to blossom now. Tibbs did everything to keep this guy locked up in the corner over there and never get him the ball after he brought it up. With Covington, Saric, Kyogi, I'm sorry, I probably said that wrong.
Okogie.
Some of these,
close.
some of these energy the guys that have earned to be out there. And Wiggins, we're going to have to suffer through this. Because if he can't unlock himself, he just is not going to make it. And that's maybe my personal feeling. But I am very glad, and thank you for having the show tonight.
You got it, Dan. Thanks for calling. We appreciate it. Yeah, I mean, I'm on Wiggins. I'm very much leaning into the camp of I just don't think he's ever really going to live up to being close to worth that contract. But I also want to see if a change in coach is going to make some sort of a difference with him. Okay. I mean, because at this point, like you have to try something with him.
Before you go, Dane, it can't make him worse. A change in coach is not going to make this look worse. Now go ahead.
That's what I got. As of right now, so there'll be some more free agents who will get raises as well, but Andrew Wiggins will be the 17th highest paid player in the NBA next season. Because a max contract is not just everyone gets the same amount. It's dependent on your years of service, whatever.
Stuff you guys don't want to hear right now.
Exactly. But that doesn't mean you need to be one of the best players in the league to do that. I point that out. I mean, so top 20, like a little bit lower than that, that's an all-star. You know, I mean, I think it's reasonable that Andrew Wiggins can, at some point in his career, progress to something that's close to an all-star. Maybe that's a top 40 player in the NBA. And if you do get to that, that's not that big of a difference in where he would fall in the hierarchy of the amount he's going to get paid. Because more and more people are going to get paid. The salary cap's only going to get higher. The 25, 26, 27 million he's going to make a year does get less onerous as time goes on, as it looks in on the salary sheet. So if Wiggins can make a big jump and start progressing each year, even slowly, like the money doesn't have to be the very worst thing in the world.
Yeah, and let me be clear too. I'm not suggesting that he needs to live up to the money at this point. I just have my doubts that he's ever going to be more than what he is right now. But I would also like to see if a new coach like a Ryan Saunders or somebody can come in and get him to be more than what he is right now. Because right now, this is not good from what we've seen. And I know he's had a couple 20-point games and everything, and the Wiggins homers are going to be like, well, look what he's done lately. But this is his fifth year in the league, and we've seen him have these spurts of games where he plays all right, and then he goes back to the same sort of Wiggins that disappears.
And those are very fair doubts to have, because that's what he's been, and he hasn't shown you a reason why he's not going to be that anymore. So that's very fair for you to say.
I'm not completely writing him off, I guess is my point, but I still have my doubts right now until I see otherwise.
All right, Manny, but what if, and there are coaches that you could hire who would do this, they would say, you can't take those shots, Andrew, those fadeaway 19, 20, 21 footers. If you do that two times in a row, you're coming to the bench. You're sitting down.
Or fine him $1,000 every time he takes a shot.
I don't know if he needs any more money.
But no, fine him. Take money away from him every time he does that.
Okay.
Every long two that he takes, fine him $2,000 or something that's going to hurt him.
In all seriousness, he hasn't been held accountable for a lot of decision-making that isn't modern NBA-esque. It's not as simple with him as just saying, stop shooting mid-range jumpers. But if he did do that, it would help him. If you cut that down to one of the only times you're taking those are when the shot clock's winding down, and all the other times you're getting behind the three-point line or you're getting to the rim, a coach can come in and enforce that, because that happens all around the league.
Mm-hmm.
Brooklyn's a great example of that with what they do, and as is Houston, is the obvious example. Everywhere.
Even the past couple years when Brooklyn has not had the talent, they've done that. Mm-hmm. They've just not been a talented enough team to win, but they've played in a way that helps you to win. They just haven't been talented enough. The Wolves have the talent. They just don't play the right way. They don't play a way that suits today's NBA.
Well, you're just fighting an uphill math battle,
yes,
right?
Yes, I write about that every single... I do a math watch in all of my write-ups about the Wolves. If their record when they outshoot a team from three is much better than when they're tied or behind.
Absolutely.
It's not hard to figure out.
All right, I have a question for you guys. I'm going to take this one more call here from Stan, and then I'm going to pose you guys a question here after Stan. Stan, you are on. What's up?
Oh, hi. Thanks for doing the show, and I'm happy to be on. My question is, you know, after 20-some years, when do we put the blame on Glenn Taylor? I mean, it's not statistically possible for one person to make this many bad decisions throughout a tenure in the franchise, from Joe Smith to David Kahn to Garnett not even having anything to do with the team anymore. When do we start pointing the finger at him and saying maybe it's time to sell the team and just get on with it, because he'll never be successful with him as an owner?
All right. Thanks for the call, Stan. I mean,
he owns it, dude.
You can point the finger at him all you want, but how are you going to get him out of there? Well, you can't force him to do anything. But you can point the finger at him. Sure. Has he not been a good owner? Sure.
But here's the other thing, though, too. The finger's already been pointed at him by a lot of people. So, I mean, when do we start pointing the finger? Well, the finger's already been, in some way, shape, or form, by a lot of people.
There's also
they've always pointed the finger at Glenn Taylor.
There's a very good chance that if it weren't for Glenn Taylor, this franchise would not still be in Minnesota.
No, they wouldn't be.
So that's an important factor as well.
They were on their way to New Orleans in 90, I think it was 94, when he bought the team.
One of the best Wikipedia read-ups is almost that move. Very good one. Just my one chime into this entire conversation. Wikipedia wormhole is one of my favorite ones, is the Wolves almost going to New Orleans.
Nerd.
That is the voice of the very nerdy Declan Goff, who's producing for us live right now.
Basketball.
Basketball, yes. I think as far as, you know, Glenn Taylor's gotten his fair share of criticism, I think, from people in this town, whether it's media or fans or whatever, Twitter, everything. So I don't think Glenn Taylor has just been completely like unnoticed in this whole thing or ever. Okay, so
also quick shout out to Luol Deng and Anthony Tolliver for both being older than their current head coach.
Wow.
There are 43 players in the NBA right now that are older than Ryan Saunders.
Dang.
That's impressive.
I mean, it's a young team. Right? Like I know people have liked to like put that aside. Like, we're not young anymore. It's time to go. Still young.
Taj too, young. Though, right? I think Taj.
No, Taj isn't 32. Taj is 31, right?
I think 32. I thought Taj was like 33.
Taj is older than him too. My bad. Yeah.
Okay.
Taj is Taj, Tolliver, and Luol Deng are all born in 85.
And Ryan Saunders was born in 86. That's impressive, man. That's wild. Awesome. So here's the question I wanted to pose to you guys, because we've talked about, this coaching change and, the coach for, what kind of coach for Wiggins and all of that. But what kind of coach is it going to take? And forget about names for a second, but just in terms of playing style, coaching style, what is the ideal coach for this team? And I'm talking about the core of Cat, Wiggins, Okogie, maybe you include Tyus Jones in that mix as well, Dario Saric, Covington. What is the most ideal type of coach? Forget about names, but the ideal type of coach for this particular core.
What do we know that Karl Anthony Towns is good at? Posting up
offense
and shooting threes. Right?
I think you can just say offense. Period.
Offense. Okay, we've seen plenty examples of Towns be used in the post, back to the basket, getting his little jump hook. We know that can work. What he has never been freed to do is be setting high screen and running copious amounts of high pick and rolls. You got to try that out. That allows him to pop out to three to get the shot there. To catch on the roll or to catch on the lob. He's a player who can score at all three levels of the floor. Use him in that way. Use him with Derrick Rose. Use him with Andrew Wiggins. Use him with Jeff Teague. High screen and rolls. That has to be a staple of this offense. It's never made sense to me why it wasn't, in Thibodeau's time here. I think you got to do that.
Danny?
I think you need to update your offensive system. I think that, and I know you guys talked a little bit about it, how Tibbs' defense had changed and had evolved a little bit, but his offense hadn't. I think you need someone that's going to embrace math. I don't think the math of the current NBA is that hard to understand, and Tibbs just couldn't understand it. I think you need someone that's going to embrace that, and I think that's a really big deal. I'm not saying you need to go out and be Houston and shoot 53s in certain games, but you need to be able to make 10 a game, to make 12 a game, for not to be rare to outshoot a team from three. You need to be able to update your NBA offense into something that's respectable. Because you've got the personnel to do it.
Obviously, that was going to be my question.
These players are a bunch of scrubs. They're not. They have some talent on this roster. Yeah. They are a more talented team than I think that their record shows. But they just don't run the right types of things.
They need a coach that can hold the players accountable to have to shooting those type of shots. Or yes. The quote-unquote more efficient shots of the game.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's... it's never going to be all Houston. I don't even think that's a good idea to be everything.
I agree. Right. But I just, that's the easiest example to bring because that's the extreme.
And I think Jeff Teague's the best example, right? He is just perpetually hesitant to take threes from out on the perimeter or get all the way to the rim and do those things that make sense in the modern NBA. And I think it's because he grew up in the non-modern NBA and has not fully evolved to what the times are. So you just need a coach that can hold him accountable to that. I mean, Jeff is still capable of doing those things. You just need to put the infrastructure in place that allows him to do more of it.
And he doesn't even need to be like a sharpshooter from three. His 34% or whatever he's shooting from deep this year is fine. He just needs to be able to take it. We saw it today, and today he shot a season-high 6 threes. We saw his defender. Lonzo Ball was his primary defender for a good portion of today. Lonzo goes under every screen when it's him because he thinks Jeff Teague's a non-threat because he's hesitant to shoot it. The Wolves are 6-1 this year when Teague shoots 4 or more 3s in a game.
I saw you tweet that out.
He's only done it 7 times, and that's the problem. The problem's not that he's shooting 34%. That's fine. You can live with that. The problem is the hesitation to shoot them.
And it's interesting, too, because I remember watching Belly last year and being so frustrated with him when he would hesitate on threes. He'd be wide open and then he'd like pump fake and then like dribble in, or he'd pass up an open look. And a lot of times I would hold that on him. I'd be like, Belly, come on, just let it fly. But then you see him go to Sacramento and he's letting it fly a lot more. And then you're thinking, what's the difference then? You know? And it's like Dave Yeager is empowering him. Like, no, go ahead, let it fly.
Well, and I think that's the difference is Tom Thibodeau empowers these players to be, you know, at the basket attackers. I mean, that like what Derrick Rose is, what Jeff Teague is, oftentimes what we see Andrew Wiggins be. It is about what the coach is putting the infrastructure in place to be. And that's what Dave Yeager, or he's not what he's doing. He's putting it into be a team that plays with pace and gets threes up. You do shape so much of your team's identity by the coach, and then it's on the players to go out and execute it. To the pace point, I think that's something this Wolves team could get a lot better with, too. Let's get it up. Let's get it up. It doesn't need to take... I mean, get into the half court quicker. The amount of late shot clock shots that this team has had for, you know, pretty much the Jimmy Butler era and then this season,
because somebody's always walking the ball up the floor and then you get across the timeline and there's already,
well, it's not 15, somebody, 16, it's such. Jeff Teague. Like, it's not somebody's always walking up the ball up the court, because how often have we talked about how much better the offense looked with Derrick Rose running the show as opposed to Jeff Teague? Like, that's been a conversation quite a few times this year. It's not a Wolves problem necessarily. It's been a Jeff Teague problem for the most part.
And that doesn't mean that Jeff's a bad player.
No, it just means maybe he doesn't fit.
And I wonder about that, though, too, because Jeff is capable of running a fast-paced offense.
Well, and we saw
he's capable him of doing that.
You hold him accountable to do it. It's not that he can't do it. He is
he's
still
a good player.
A capable player. I mean, he showed it on Friday night against Orlando. I mean, I think he was the biggest part of the turnaround, you know, in that game that night. And there's been countless other examples. Last season, when Butler went down, Jeff Teague was a huge part of the team making the playoffs down those final 22 games of the season. He was one of the best players in the playoffs in that Rockets series. I mean, he can be a good player. He could be a better player with a coach that is holding him accountable to not do the things that he struggles at.
We've heard his name be tweeted out a few times, or we don't hear tweets. Sorry. Let me word that differently.
We've read tweets. Fred Hoiberg.
Yes. Yes, exactly. Danny, you read my mind. You knew exactly where I was going with that.
Be impressive if you could hear tweets, though. You can make some money off that.
Well, Woj mentioned Fred Hoiberg in a couple of tweets, and we've seen some people tweet at us, or at least at me, about Fred Hoiberg. What do you guys think? Because I'm not entirely sure. I'm open to it.
There's no way to know what Fred Hoiberg is. He played in coached a trash Chicago roster.
It was a bad situation.
I mean, and that, I'm not saying that means he's a good coach. I'm saying we don't know what type of NBA coach he is. That roster was constant turmoil and consistently poor.
Yeah, if you are looking at Fred Hoiberg, you almost have to look at him as a rookie head coach. I don't think that you can hold what happened in Chicago against him. And Matt tweets in at us and says, as someone who hasn't watched heaps of Bulls basketball the last few years, one, I can't blame you. How good or bad of a coach do you feel he is? And I don't have an answer. Like you said, it's I don't know if he's good. I don't know if he's bad. I have no idea.
Because it was almost like he coached two different teams in Chicago.
Well, he wanted to run a faster paced system, and then they bring in Dwayne Wade and Rajon Rondo. Like, they didn't give him a roster.
And you already got Jimmy Butler there in place.
They had a roster that didn't fit anything that he wanted to bring to the Chicago Bulls. Now, do the Wolves maybe have better personnel for what he wants to do? Yeah, I think so. But we don't know how his system works, or we don't know how good it is, because we haven't seen it. The last 2.5 years for him have been a complete waste of time.
And, you know,
other than collecting a check.
Part of being a good coach, though, is getting the most out of the roster you do have.
Sure.
And that means not necessarily just doing your system, which, again, I don't know if that's exactly what Hoiberg was doing or not. I don't think he got the most out of that roster, but it was a mess. And that is a messy organization.
What was the most he could have gotten out of that roster, too? Yeah. We don't know what that is.
I don't know.
Well,
I know they were a train wreck defensively, but they've been a train wreck defensively since he was fired.
Celtics. And if they beat the Celtics that first year.
In his defense, if Rondo doesn't break his wrist, I think they do.
Right.
He lost Rajon Rondo after two games. They were up 2-0 on the one seed. I think they win.
Two games on the road.
I think they win that series if Rondo's wrist doesn't break. I truly, in my heart of hearts, believe.
And then Fred Hoiberg isn't the next coach of the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Also, the Wolves are waiving James Nunnally.
His guarantee date was next week.
Yeah, that's
he's a nice guy.
According to Doogie. Doogie was first. Shams just reported it as well. But Doogie was first on the news here. 1500 ESPN Zone.
You know what? He was a dude who was a grinder. Went overseas, evolved into the modern NBA, shot over 50% from three over there, and he signed a half season guaranteed contract, came here. Never got an opportunity.
Seemed like a good guy too.
In my interactions, he was a really nice guy who worked. But that must have been a Thibodeau connection.
Opens up a roster spot as well.
I think more changes are coming.
I would be surprised if they're not.
Could be. One more note on Fred Hoiberg, because there's talk of, okay, is he going to be the next coach, or is he going to be added to the front office? Now, he was the assistant GM many years ago underneath Kevin McHale. Would that be something that might be better than him being a coach, a potential coaching candidate? Or, like, if you're thinking about bringing in Freddie Hoiberg, do you want him as, like, do you think he'd be better as a coach or in a front office role?
I mean, Manny, it's the same thing. Like, it's so hard to, like, actually critique, like, front office people or coaches. I mean, how do we know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've had some interactions with Fred Hoiberg. Seems like a really nice guy. But I have some friends who I've interacted with, and they're really nice guys too. And I don't want them to coach the Timberwolves. Like, you don't need a nice guy. You need a great basketball mind to be the person who takes over.
Which could be. The team.
Yeah, which could be.
We don't know.
Yep.
Interesting enough. I think Declan is getting one more caller on the line, so we'll take one more call before we get out of here. But if you're just joining us, if you haven't heard the news, where have you been for the last probably 2 hours or so? The Wolves have fired Tom Thibodeau, and Ryan Saunders has taken over as head coach. Scott Layden is remaining as GM.
We haven't talked about, like, the vets on this team, though, that did come for Thibodeau. I mean, Taj.
The Timberwolves.
Lou Hall. I mean, like,
Derrick Rose.
People made fun of that, but most of those guys have all came in
other
here.
Other than Jimmy Butler, they've all worked out great.
Right.
I mean, even Luol's been, I think, a good locker room presence for them.
And a minimum contract.
Derek has been incredible this year. He is
a lot better than I expected.
He's the best player on a minimum contract in the NBA, I think I'm comfortable saying.
Right. And those guys will keep their heads down.
And Taj has
been
good.
They'll keep working.
Yeah.
I have a lot of confidence in that. I mean, Derek, I would say, and amidst all the chaos in this season, has kept, you know, he hasn't changed much from when Butler was here to when he wasn't. He just went out and did his job, you know, all year. And I'd say that's very much Taj's MO as well.
Yeah. And before we get out of here, I do want to give a shout out to Derek, actually, because this is now going to get swept under the rug. But he met with a Make-A-Wish kid today that's battling leukemia. I thought that was a really cool thing prior to the game.
Totally.
And I know no one's going to ever hear about that now because, obviously, this news came down, but that's a good thing to see him doing. And he was, he did get a pretty lengthy on-court workout prior to the game. And Tibbs, before the game, said that Rose was getting closer to return. I don't know how much that matters now that Tibbs is gone, but Rose did get quite a lengthy workout in before the game and looked pretty good. So I do think his return is pretty close.
All right, let's go to, we'll take one more phone call before we get out of here. Chris, you are on. What's up?
Great call session going on tonight here. Hey, I have a question. What's your confidence in Glenn Taylor in making the right decision? We go from Joe Smith to David Kahn to this conundrum at the beginning to start the season. You should have nipped it in the bud there and fired him there. So what gives us the confidence that this guy is going to make the right decision? And one more thing, you know, looking Andrew Wiggins in the eye and giving him a max contract when he's nowhere near close to being that player that should be a max contract player.
All right, Chris, thanks for the call. I mean, with Glenn Taylor, I don't know. Whew. I don't know. I mean, sometimes the decisions that you make, it just works out there's that too.
There's a whole, I mean, obviously they put Ethan Casson's name in the, Woj did in the tweet. I mean, mm-hmm. Noah Kroom's been there for a long time. I mean, there's other people. This isn't just like Glenn, like, oh, let me go through my Rolodex and see what guys I know. I mean, like, it's professional enough of an organization to, you know, do their due diligence in, you know, and finding a good option. A good option might also be a guy who is in Glenn's Rolodex, like Chauncey Billups or Fred Hoiberg or Ryan Saunders. Like, but I would, you know, put some trust in the organization that they will, you know, do the necessary parsing to figure out, you know, what's best for this group.
And the reality is Glenn Taylor is the owner of the team, and he's, at least for the foreseeable future, going to continue to be the owner of the team. And so
that's how it works.
Whether or not I have confidence, or, you know, any of us have confidence in him making the right decision, it doesn't really matter, because he's going to make the decision. And at the end of the day, he's going to make that decision. He's going to have people helping him make that decision. And you just have to see if it ends up being the right one. And that's
you can get angry about it, and you can do that. It's just more fun to just embrace the team and watch it. And I mean, like, it's not the player's fault that they got drafted by the Timberwolves or like signed by the, you know, it's just, you know, just embrace it. I think that's a bigger whole thing here now, where we can just let this Thibodeau machinery pass by, and you can let Glenn Taylor hire who he's going to hire. And let's just embrace these players. Yeah, like, you got good young talent on the roster for a long time. Just embrace it and be patient. Be patient. That it takes a really long time to be good. It does, Manny. Well, you got 23-year-olds.
I'm not disagreeing with you. I just, at the same time, it is hard to tell a fan base that has seen so much to just be patient. Like, and yeah, I don't disagree with you. I'm just saying, like, if you tell somebody that's been following the Wolves for 20 plus years to be patient, like, they're just going to be
I've
been patient a long time. I don't want to hear that. Right. Like, they're not going to want to hear it. Right. You know what I mean? But I don't disagree with you. Like,
it's not Carl Anthony Towns' fault that David Kahn was here and just ripped everything apart.
And at the end of the day, like, people, they're not going to have any choice to be patient, or if they just don't want to pay attention to the team anymore, then they just don't. But it's tough to tell somebody to be patient when because their reaction is always going to be, well, I've been patient. And so they want,
it's going to be fair, fair or not, fair how long not, do I have to be patient for?
Right, because fair or not, rational or not, they're not going to want to be patient anymore. That's the tough part. But
it's how the NBA is tough, man. It's really tough to be really good in the NBA. Like 26 teams a year need to be really patient, because there's only a handful of teams who have a legitimate shot. You do have a potential MVP candidate someday on your roster. And that, for me, that's what I hold on to in why I think patience makes sense. You have a 23-year-old kid who could be legitimately great. So I don't know. Yeah, don't be patient if he leaves, you know, if he leaves once his deal's done. Like, yeah, this franchise totally squandered a great opportunity. But Kat's here, And Kat's really freaking good. Embrace that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, I guess that'll do it for us here. And Declan, you can fire that exit bump if you would like. If you missed if you're just tuning in now for whatever reason, and you missed most of this live session, you can hear it back. It'll be on demand on the Raised by Wolves page on 1500ESPN.com, on podcast1.com, on iTunes as well. Wow, big news for the Wolves tonight. Tom Thibodeau is out. And you can follow Dane on Twitter at DaneMoreNBA. Follow Danny at RealDCunningham. Follow me at Manny Hill 84. Declan, nice job. Thanks for producing tonight on sort of a last minute out of the blue type of thing. And thanks to everybody who's called. Thanks to you at home who have been listening. And we will talk to you next time. New Raised by Wolves coming up on Tuesday, and all three of us will be present for that as well. Thanks for listening.